All right, well, thank you for praying tonight. I invite you to take your Bible and open your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. And we're making our journey through the writings of Moses. And we're at chapter 31 in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to focus my attention on the first two verses. This is a chapter dedicated to some final instructions from Moses. It is his swan song of a sense, like Paul writing to Timothy. This would be Moses writing to the nation of Israel. They're hanging on every word. This is a transition chapter. Joshua is pegged as the next leader of the nation of Israel. Once Moses departs the scene, Joshua will be placed as the new leader of the nation as they move into the promised land. Looking at and going to read with you tonight just verses 1 and 2. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for time of prayer this evening, a wide variety of subjects taken up as we came before you tonight. We thank you, Father, as Dave sang a moment ago, you alone are our strength. You alone are our shield. We long to worship you. And we know that Old Testament saints yearned to worship you. And it's not that we have a Savior they didn't, but we know more about the Savior than they did. They looked forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. And so as excited as they always were to worship you, we are even more so excited. And we thank you, Father, for these Wednesday evenings when we can sing, we can fellowship, we can pray together, we can spend time in your word. We can take our prayer sheets home and continue. Let those sheets guide us even further in our quiet time each day. We ask now that you'll help us as we spend a moment thinking about Moses' career, his life, how you used him, and somehow providentially protected him from the moment of his birth to the age of 120. What a remarkable record. As he was faithful, Lord, may we be faithful. And as you used him as a child and as a young adult and into his adult and elder years, Father, may you use us as well. Bless the balance of our service now. We dedicate it to you and our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're told in those two verses that Moses is at the end of his life. He says, I'm 120 years old. I'm getting older, not going out and coming in like I once did. The Lord is going to pick up the baton. Joshua is going to come in and fill my shoes. The Lord is going to go with you. I'm not going to go with you into the promised land, but the Lord is going to go with you into the promised land. And that truth alone merits a message. You may feel all alone, but you are never alone, that God is with us. We sometimes have this idea that God's eyes are closed, his ears are plugged, his mouth is duct taped shut. He's not saying anything, seeing anything, hearing anything. He is nowhere to be found. What the word consistently tells us is that is nowhere near the case. That God's eyes are always on us. He's always listening to us. He's always seeing. He's always speaking to us through his word, guiding us by his spirit. And as he went with them across the Jordan, he will go with you. What I want to dwell upon tonight is just the simple fact of Moses admitting what is going on in his life. Doesn't seem to be ill at ease with that. Thankful to have been used by the Lord across those decades that the Lord gave to him. He doesn't bemoan the fact. He doesn't pity himself. He's not irritated by it. He is completely comfortable with the idea that God has used me. He has told me that he's going to call me home. I'm not blaming him. I'm worthy of that. In fact, if anything, he shouldn't have let me live as long as I did. He let me live as this wonderful life that he gave me, and God used me every step of the way. He accepts the truth of what the Lord has told him and still wants to use his remaining days wisely before the Lord. Someone came to me in this church and said, and their son's a pastor, and said, and he's my age, he's exactly my age, and said, he's pastoring, my son is retiring. I don't know what kind of look came over my face. I said, that sounds awful. I may not always be fit to be pastor, and you may say you're not fit now, so go on, get down the road, go away. But to be used by the Lord is something that is a privilege for sure. And Moses actively served the Lord until the day he died. I'm not suggesting that you clock in and clock out of any job. And you may love your job, you may hate your job, you may whatever your career. I am suggesting, though, whatever we do, as long as we have breath, that we serve the Lord with gladness and joy and thanksgiving and be used for the sake of the kingdom. Just like Moses, he doesn't appear to have retired. He doesn't appear to have slowed down. He doesn't appear to have done anything but just want to continue to be used for the sake of the kingdom. He is going to work until God calls him home. And I've met people who have said, you know, I did this, time for someone else to do that. And there are certain jobs where it is time for someone else to do that. And I will come to the point as a minister of the gospel where I will say it's time for someone else to do this rather than myself. But until that time comes, just to want to serve him as joyfully as I can. He is so, wonderful in his advanced age. He is not a sour saint. He is a sweet saint. He even writes a song in at the end of his life, in his 120th year. I think you'll find in like verse number 19. Now therefore, he was told, write ye this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. In verse number 22, he mentions it again. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. You say, what is that song? That is chapter 32. We'll look at that song the next time that we are together. As a church family on a Wednesday evening. But I think we're told that even in heaven, among the record of heaven, we will be singing the song of Moses. And it's a glorious thought that Moses would have written a song that we are going to be singing with the host of saints and angels in heaven above. But God had a purpose for his life. God had a plan for his life. God had things for him to do that no one else could do. Would I be adding to Scripture? Don't think so. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has things that he wants you to accomplish within your life that no one else can humanly possibly do. And so let's look at this tonight. And I want you to notice with me Moses birth to 40. I'm going to do a little, we're wrapping up the writings of Deuteronomy, writings of Moses and Deuteronomy, birth to 40. It's like his life is divided in 40-year sections. Birth to 40, 40 to 80, 80 to 120. God is going to use Moses differently at every stage of his life, uniquely at every age. None of those sections of 40 are the same with any other section, but God will use him in a unique way at every phase. And as I continue to minister, I'm finding that there's a sweetness that comes with age as you continue to share the gospel, to preach the word, to minister to the saints. There is a calmness and a sweetness that I am experiencing that I've never experienced before in my life. And it's just a different stage that I'm in. But God would use Moses to the very end. First, let's just discuss for a moment his birth and up to his 40th year. Now, he was born at a time, much like America, where infants were, the womb was not a safe place in Egypt. The people had become too many. And the Pharaoh gave the executive order to those midwives, I want you to take the life of the newborn male Hebrew children. Fortunately, those midwives disregarded his instructions and said they're being born too fast. There's things that are going on that are out of our control. But fortunate on top of that, Moses was born as an infant into a home with a godly mother who wanted to protect him and a sister that took special interest in him, in Miriam, and he was protected for a series of like 1, 2, 3 months, his first 3 months. God was already showing himself strong in the life of Moses. And you say, at an infant, is that even possible? As an infant, that things can be going on in your life that uniquely bear the stamp of God's blessing. And if you look at the life of Moses, you would say, absolutely, yes, things can be going on in the life of an infant. On December 3rd, I think, I don't know what the first Sunday is in December, maybe it's the first day, we will be, I think, dedicating young Violet to the Lord and doing an infant dedication. We're celebrating the infants in our church, and Violet is a newborn infant. And just as Jesus came to this earth as an infant, and I'm already beginning to see some Christmas decor going up, and this Saturday, the lights, you know, the 6 million lights or whatever at Silver Dollar City will be lit. The switch will be pulled and the lights will light up, and the celebration of the first advent of our Savior will begin across these Ozark Hills. And it'll be an exciting time. Celebration of the infant, the Lord Jesus. Well, his infancy, in my mind, I could do infant dedications at Mother's Day, and I think that's a perfectly good time. That would be spot number two for me. I think when Christ came as an infant, his infancy blesses all of our infants and gives a special uniqueness to them in that regard. God was working in Moses' life from the day he was born. Up to his third month, his mother and his sister gave special care and protection over him. At that time, in about his third month, he was put in that waterproof basket, sent sailing down the Nile, and of all things, he winds up in the company of the Pharaoh's daughter and her entourage in the river bathing, and they pull this child in, and he is taken under the wing of the Pharaoh's daughter, raised up in the Pharaoh's house itself. Can you believe that? God's providence working in Moses' life up to his 120th year. You could see it every day. People say, God never does anything for me. God never blesses me in any way. I don't see God's hand doing anything. I would say God blesses you 10,000 ways every day. Do you see one or two of those things? God is blessing he was blessing his life every day. Pharaoh's daughter discovered him. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was well educated, received one of the best educations available at that time in the nation of Egypt. Stephen said of him, Moses was mighty in Acts chapter 7, verse number 22. Moses was mighty in word and deed. And it came because of God's hand upon him. It also came about because of him being raised in Pharaoh's palace. He watched the Hebrew people. They were in slavery. They were suffering under the hand of the Egyptian economy. They were likely building the cities, building the towns, building the pyramids. Of all things, I read an article this week. There was some stray dog who took about 3 days. He climbed to the top of a pyramid. Can you imagine a dog climbing to the top? I'm like, I've never seen a pyramid, but I can imagine that is no easy thing to do. And just sat up there, and they all watched him set up that dog. But they, likely built those cities, likely built those grain bins, likely built, had a hand in building those pyramids as they were slaves in the land of Egypt. And he watched them. And one day Moses watched an Egyptian who was beating one of his people. And Moses intervened. And of course, the injuries that man suffered ended his life. And any dreams of grandeur that Moses might have had at that point ended instantly. The education, the ring that he had on his finger, his future, everything that he might have thought was going to happen, suddenly all bets were off. He puts Egypt in his rear view mirror, runs away, flees the country as a fugitive, for he had taken the life of a man and his dreams came crashing down around his head. He winds up in the desert. And he becomes one of the desert fathers, one of the men. It seems like God has a unique place in his heart for desert men. That the loneliness that comes through that and the experience that goes through that, it was the Abrahams, Isaacs, and the Jacobs that were all desert men. And many wonderful things happened in the day. Many wonderful things happened in the night. There's night scenes all across the desert. In the Old Testament, Moses becomes a desert man. He meets some Midianites, some people from Midian. He marries a Midianite priest's daughter. He has children. That first 40 years, so extraordinary. He has children. He has a wife. He seems to be blessed. He seems to be content. He seems to be a happy man in that era of his life. Next, from 40 to 80, what does he do? From 40 to 80, you say God's done with him, God's through with him, he ran his course, collateral value is no longer on the shelf, he's a has-been, he's a wannabe, God doesn't know where he is. For all practical purposes, Moses leaves everybody's memory. Not so fast. The years from 40 to 80, Moses, for 40 years, can you imagine? We always talk about Moses leading the children of Israel across the wilderness for 40 years. Do you know what he did from 40 to 80? He was out in the wilderness. He was shepherding sheep. It was him out there under the stars. I spent a good bit of time last evening around a campfire at our house, and the stars were spectacular last night. Moses must have looked and watched the stars for that 40 years, from the years 40 to 80. You say, well, God, there's no education out there. There's nothing to learn out there. There's nothing to do out there. It is boring, with a capital B. God would use that season in his life, from 40 to 80, out there in the wilderness, him and the sheep, to strengthen his faith, and to refine his character, and God would reveal his glory eventually out in the desert scenes. His 40 years in the desert would prepare him as he led those sheep out there in the desert. That 40 years would prepare him. Otherwise, with no desert, no Moses. I'll just say it that way. Is that okay to say it that way? If you don't have this section of his life, you will not have the man who goes to Pharaoh with such confidence and strength to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. It was that 40 years of quiet, loneliness, heat, desert. Are you going through something? Perhaps God has got you in a wilderness right now, and I would not know what that is. Probably none of my business to know what that is. But never discount that God would have you where he is tonight, in a place tonight where he can do things in your life that if you were in some other place, he could not do unless you're in the position that you are currently in. You say, this is miserable. I'm not hot and I'm not suffering in 120 degree weather and in the sheep pen with a bunch of smelly sheep, but I'm going through something and it is a trial. And I don't think wilderness is a bad word. I think there's some collateral value. It kind of resonates. It kind of fits. I would say if there's loss or suffering or disappointment, like Moses, sometimes life doesn't make sense. You say, what do you do when life doesn't make sense? You trust God. You lean on God. You walk with God. You keep your eyes on God. You stay close to God. God can use you as a child. God can use you as an infant. He can use you as a child. He can use you as a young man. He can use you as a man approaching his 80th year. He will use you at every station of your life. Just be faithful. He doesn't call us to be fancy. I'm not supposed to flip my oar around and spin it like some kind of baton and throw it in the air. I'm just supposed to keep my oar in the water, being faithfully rowing, nothing fancy, just rowing for the Lord in a steady way before him. He's called us to be faithful. And when Jesus, prior to his earthly ministry, it's just a little reminder, a little moment of Christ in tonight's message. What did he do prior to starting his earthly ministry? He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, not for 40 years, for 40 days he fasted and he prayed as God prepared him and used the desert. He used the wilderness. He used a period of loneliness, suffering, heartache, agony, heartbreak, separation to get him ready for his earthly ministry prior to it beginning. Lastly, Moses, that final 40 years, 80 to 120, things are never boring. You can say, boy, Christians are so boring. Church is so boring. God is boring. If you read Scripture, you'll find that God is never boring, that God is always up to something great in our lives and doing good things around us, even at times we don't see, hear, sense him doing things. God is up to something good. Just be patient with him. At the age of 80, God called out to Moses from the burning bush. He was out there with those sheep, and he was out there all alone, and there was a bush that was burning, probably not the first time he'd ever seen such a sight like that. But the unique thing about this bush was it was burning, and it was not being consumed. It was burning, still burning, continuing to burn, like the fire was never going out. And the voice of the Lord called out to Moses, 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 take off your shoes. The ground upon which you are standing is holy ground. And God revealed his plan. Without that childhood that he had, without that 40 years shepherding experience in the wilderness that he had, I don't think that God necessarily would have called him to do what he called him to do. In my estimation, and it's a humble estimation, you can disagree with me if you want, of all the people, of all the tasks given to human beings, the cast of characters in the Old Testament, I think what Moses was asked to do may perhaps be the hardest task anyone was given to do. I want you to go into Egypt. Okay, I'm familiar with Egypt. I want you to talk to Pharaoh. Okay, I kind of know him. What do you want me to say? I want you to tell him to let those millions of slaves go. And then you've got the 10, the journey begins. You've got the 10 plagues and the Nile that they worship turned to blood, the weather that they worship raining down hails, the health that they worship turning to boils, the creature that came out of the was a water creature. The frog came up on the land and began to hop around. They kind of thought, that's pretty significant. I don't know how that works. You go from being a water creature to a land creature, and they worship the frog. All of these 10 plagues were a frontal attack on the gods, the idols of the nation of Israel. There was a showdown of sorts, and God won every single one of those showdowns. They worshiped the sun, Ra, they called him. And God blacked out the sun for 3 days. And said, you want to worship Ra? That's good. How's that God working out for you? You want to worship your health? How about boils on your body? How's that God working out? You want to worship Baal, the god of the weather? How's that hail destroying your crops, destroying your cattle, destroying everything outside, working out for you? And so Moses returned to Egypt after God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and the plagues and the exodus and the story began, which brings us up to this point. In verses 1 through 6 of chapter 31, Moses encourages Israel. He says in verse 3, the Lord thy God will go before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, there's a transition of leadership going on in 31. He shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said, and the Lord shall do unto them as he did in Sion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. He uses the first 6 verses just to give some encouragement to the nation of Israel. He uses verses 7 and 8 to encourage Joshua. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. It is a phrase that will be repeated again and again and again for Joshua and for men today. Be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So in 7 and 8 he says, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. Play the man. I'm going with you. It's not going to be that you're so sophisticated in battle that you're going to win every battle. I'm going to give you this land. This land will be a gift from my hand to your hand. And that's what makes the land of Israel so special to this very day. And we continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm in Psalm 122 on Sunday morning, one psalm a month, 122 months. Go imagine, where are you at? Psalm 122. And been here 122 months. But you're going to see, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You're going to see, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the peace of Jerusalem is all over Psalm 122. And so in 7 and 8, he encourages Joshua. I've got this thing. Encourages Joshua. Joshua may say, I'm not fit. I'm not strong. I don't know. I didn't study military science in college. God is saying, I've got this and you're going to be okay. 9 through 13, he encourages those Levites, the priesthood in verse 9. Moses wrote this law, delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord and unto all the elders of Israel. And he commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of the Tabernacles, he begins to just encourage, instruct, and guide, and counsel these Levites. So he encourages the nation. He encourages Joshua. He encourages the Levites in Deuteronomy chapter 31. So that Moses, at the very end, was as strong. His sails were full of heavenly breezes. He wasn't a dour Christian. He was a joyful Christian. He was being useful to his final days. He was a great commodity for the kingdom. And I pray that that is the case for all of us. Billy Graham once said, old age may have its limitations and challenges, but in spite of them, our latter years can be some of the most rewarding and fulfilling of our lives. That God would use us in a way at the end of our life that surpasses anything that he's done prior to that. And I pray that you would find that to be the case in your life. That as the years, and age is just a year, but as we advance in age, we would not be so much slowing down in serving the Lord, but finding that it's like we're just getting started. Each step I take, I'm one step closer to heaven. And when I used to run in track, you would set this pace. But at the end of every race, it was an all-out dogfight sprint. Everybody just running as hard as is humanly possible to get across the finish line. You save some reserves for that final leg of the race. And that's what Moses is doing here. He is going to be used all the days of his life. The Berean Standard Bible says of Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age, I will be the same, and I will bear you up when you turn gray. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will deliver you. That's Isaiah 46, verse number 4. Now, God set his favor on Moses as a child, as an infant. He set his favor and God can use our young people in his economy for the glory of the Lord. If you're a young person, you can be full of the Spirit of God from the moment you follow Christ, and what a glorious change he makes in your life. He can use you through those that 30, 40, 50, 60. He can use you to the age of 80. If he allows us to live to the age of 120, he can use us to the very end. God, you say, how can you say that? Now, that's a stretch. He used Moses. He can use us for the good of others and for his glory to the end of our days on earth, so that our last breath on earth is followed by our first breath in heaven. And we cross the threshold of heaven. Happy day, happy day, happy day. Let's pray together. Father, your word tells us that Moses was going to live to the age of 120 years, and he was never going to go into a maintenance mode. He was never going to go into a protective mode. He was not going to retire or slow down. Nothing wrong with the word retirement. Certainly, we thank you, Lord, for our jobs, and if we can retire. In America, we're living a life that most nations, it's foreign to what we're doing here is foreign to what most nations are experiencing. But we pray, Lord, that whether we retire from our work in the workaday, 40-hour a week, clock in, clock out work, Lord, that you would use us every step of the way, and that we would see you doing great things through our life every day. We would count our blessings and not name them one by one. We would count our blessings and name them ton by ton, and that with our final breath, that we would you would find a use for us. And I think as long as we are alive, Lord, you do have a use for us, and that you would use us in a great way for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of Christ. Bless now as we have our invitation. If there's one here who has never trusted Christ, may tonight be a night of salvation. If there are those here who need prayer, prayed in the small group but just need pastor to pray with them or need to pray alone at the altar, may they come for prayer tonight. If there are those who need a church home, live here but just maybe attending a church, going to a church but don't belong to a church, Lord, may they come tonight to become part of Friendly Baptist Church here in Branson. Bless as we sing our closing song, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.